that shot I made from half court. Just dropped it in there like a rock. Hey, on your way out today, make sure you say thank you to our Batavia City Police officer that came. Can we just say thank you right now to them? Thank you, buddy. Hey, give Pastor Ryan a big God bless you as he shares a word this morning. Come on.
I wish I could whistle like that. You got to teach me. How many of you know that basket was fake news? Oh, look at all the hands. Man, that's the best amen I've ever got. That was definitely fake news. I went out on the court Tuesday. Coach that helps us out. How many of you know Coach on Tuesday night that helps us? He said, Ryan, if you're going to play in this basketball game, you got to get practiced up. So I went out there. I had boots, jeans, and a button-down on, and I lasted about 4 minutes. Amen. And I was trying to breathe, but it wasn't working out. But we are better together. I love this series. I love the messages. How many of you loved the message last week from Dad? I mean, that was a profound message, amen, that we all needed. And would you give my friend Sarah a big hand on the piano? Come on. We are better together. We're better together. And I was thinking this week, and for the sake of time, I'm just going to blitz right into this. I was thinking of this week, I was thinking about Better Together, and I was thinking about Jess and Larry Klisch. And why was I thinking about them? They've become some of my closest friends. Where are they? Did they run? There they are. There she is right there. Some of my closest friends, Better Together. She takes care of everything around here. How many of you know last night the Crossroads House had a big benefit here? People all over the place. This place is something to take care of, and Jess takes care of it week in and week out. We have outreaches, and Jess and Larry, every Tuesday night, you say, Ryan, where are you going with this? I'm taking you somewhere right now. They take care of so much stuff. About 2 years ago, about 2 years ago, the church hired Jessica to work in the office, to take care of all kinds of stuff, missions, dinners. I mean, she does it all. And I said all that to say she's been at church here 10 years or longer. The first 8 years, I didn't know her first name. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing because we get so busy. And I'm speaking to me right now. Kurt and I talk about this all the time over coffee. We get so busy that the people that we're doing life with and that are in the trenches with us, maybe we don't get to know them all too well. So I say that to say this. If you've been here a long time, how many of you know 5 years is a long time to be in a church? And I'm so happy that you're here. We're so blessed that you're here. But if I haven't got to know you, my dad makes a statement all the time. He said, in a relationship, only one person has to move. And a person can move towards a relationship, or how many of you know a person can move out of a relationship? It just happens sometimes. But if you want to connect with someone, if you want to make some new friends, shoot them a text. Shoot them an email. Invite them to dinner. Don't wait for them to invite you. You invite them, because we are better together. And I just want to say, Jess and Larry, 10 years in, we're blessed that you're a part of the ministry here. And it's just an example. It's just an example. Here's another example of Better Together, and it's kind of a balloon in the room. So I'm going to pop the balloon. We've had some people that, well, Ryan, why are you preaching? Why is Pastor Marty's in service today? What's happening? What's going on? Here's what's happening. We're better together than we are apart. We can accomplish more. We can meet more people. We can expand. We can do St. Anthony's. We can do, you know, on my horizon, we can do more ministry. We can help other churches. We can have other churches join the ministry of City Church. when we do it together. Because how many of you know you can't do it alone? He can't do it all alone. He can't preach 100 times a year and be fresh and be crisp up here. And let me just pop the balloon in the room for everybody. My dad, I'm going to push him from behind. He's going to be preaching until I roll him down the center aisle in a casket. I'm going to make him work. Amen. Because we're better together. We can minister to more people together than we can apart. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about sharing your faith. And I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me. He has been ministering to me not to keep the gift that I've been given to myself. What good is the gift if I just keep it to myself? What good is the gift of love and of salvation if I don't give it to someone else? There's two portions of Scripture, and I'm going to be very brief this morning, but I pray by the workings of the Holy Spirit that you'll grab a hold of this. You know, sharing our faith, sharing our salvation is so important. Here's why. I'm going to give you just a couple examples of why. How many of you remember Bob Brennan? Bob Brennan used to sit right over here every single Sunday. About 15 days ago, he went on to be with the Lord. He's not here this morning. And thank God City Church was here to share our faith with him, to help him receive salvation. Another young man, both in their 40s, young people in their 40s. Another young man, Richard Hutchinson. Wednesday night, I got a phone call that he had passed. He wasn't at our Wednesday night Bible study. I said, where's Richard? He's always the first one here and the last one to go home, and he eats more chicken wings than anybody does. And I get that phone call that he went on to be with the Lord. And he accepted Christ because of the work of City Church and St. Anthony. Thank God. Thank God because we shared our faith. And it wasn't just one. It was many who shared that walk to beginning to know the Lord, and subsequently Richard's memorial services this week. If you want to ride with me, you're more than welcome to. It's in Geneseo. And thank God for sending those couple of people. But there's two portions of Scripture, and I think one of them's pretty familiar to you. It's in Matthew 28:16. It says this: Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee. This portion of Scripture is called the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I don't know about you, but I doubt once in a while. Can I get an amen? And then Jesus came to them and said these words. Jesus said these words, and they apply to us today. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to do next Sunday. We don't just do it because we feel like it. We do it because the word of the Lord has asked us to do it. And then it says, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will always be with you until the very end of age. And Zondervan says this. It explains the Scripture this way. Jesus still commands us to tell others the good news and make others disciples for the kingdom of God. And let me just pause there for a minute. if you're a machinist, if you're a salesman, if you're in agriculture, if whatever line of, if you're a painter, if you're a carpenter, whatever line of work it is, I think it's fantastic. I know that we all need to make a living. We need to put bread on the table. But can I just tell you from this portion of Scripture that the Lord shares with us, your number one purpose for entering into this earth was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. It's such a gift. Salvation. You know, I look at Becky and I look at Paul up here this morning. What a testimony. What love. What an awesome, awesome testimony of the love of God. But guess what? They wouldn't be here unless somebody shared the salvation with them. They wouldn't be here if somebody didn't say, hey, dude, you want to go to church with me and then grab some bacon and eggs after service. They wouldn't be here. That testimony wouldn't be standing up here if God didn't use a person to start it forward. Hello. Go and make disciples, Jesus said. And then there's another small portion of Scripture that we don't teach very often, but it's a fantastic Scripture. It's in Philemon, and let me just give you the background of the story. There's this guy that is working for Philemon. Okay, you with me now? Because I really want, I've never heard this in church, so I think it's worth looking at because it's such a profound example of who we are, of who Ryan is. So I just want you to get this. There's this guy that's a slave to Philemon. Back in the day, they had slaves, right? Let's just say he worked for Philemon, and he got fed up doing whatever he was doing, and he runs off to Rome. Okay, this is the backdrop of the story. He runs off to Rome, and he meets up with a guy by the name of the Apostle Paul. He ends up in Rome. He ends up having this interaction with the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul leads him to Christ because he's got a story. Paul's got a story, right? Because Paul had an experience on the road to Damascus. He saw a great light. God did an amazing work in him, but he wasn't always the Apostle Paul. He used to be the hater of Christians, the hater of salvation, the hater of the gospel, but he has this conversion, and then he meets this slave that ran off from Philemon, and Paul ends up ministering what had happened to him, and he leads this guy to Christ. Side note, if you're leading people and you're not bringing people to Christ, you're probably not a leader. If you're leading in the church in any capacity, you have to be leading people to Christ. It is your commission. It is your calling. It is your purpose on the face of this earth to say, hey, dude, I know you're going through a tough time. I used to be there, but God really ministered to me. So Paul has this conversation as an oversight. He has this conversation with this slave. And then this slave ends up giving his life to the Lord. Great God. He has an experience. He has this wonderful time with Paul, and he gives his life to Christ. And Paul ends up writing this note. Because Paul's the mentor, right? Paul ends up writing this note that I'm about to read to you. Paul says this, I always thank my God as I remember you, Philemon, in my prayers. I love this. Because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus. That's number one. You need the faith in the Lord Jesus, Philemon. And number two, and your love for all the saints. And my question this morning, are we living this? Are we loving the saints? I pray that we are. He says, and your love for all the saints. And then it says this, I pray that you may be active right in the Scripture. Didn't pull it out of the air, right in the Scriptures. I pray that you would be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, in Jesus' name, sow this seed into our hearts. Sow this seed into our spirits. Change us from everlasting, Father. We thank you for this morning. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're moving among us in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. He writes this letter to Philemon. And here's the undertow of the scripture. He says, hey, Philemon, dude, you're doing a nice job. You love the people you go to church with. You got faith. You're doing a nice job. But he says, can I just challenge you in something? And actually, if you keep reading, he says, I could command you, but I won't. He said, I'd rather give it to you in a loving way. And how many of you know that's a great way to lead? He says, I want to challenge you. This guy was working for you. You got chicken wings with him. You got bacon and eggs with him. You got Starbucks coffee with him. You hung out with the guy, but you never talked to him about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You never ministered to this friend, this guy that you worked with every day. Paul says, dude, what's up? You're doing a great job. The people that are in your church, the people that you know, they're easy to love. Judy, Marty, you guys are easy to love. You guys are easy to love. The people I'm in church with, they're easy to love. But I need to correct you on something, Paul says to Philemon. He goes, dude, you're not sharing your faith. And then he goes on to say something that I pray that if you get this in your heart and in your spirit, it will transform your life. It's been starting to transform my spirit. He says, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing that you have in Christ. And here's my question for you. There are Christians that aren't very happy with their walk. And let me just throw it out there. No person is going to make you happy. The pastor can't make you happy. The song leader can't make you happy. The elder can't make you happy. The usher can't make you happy. Nobody can make you happy. Nobody can bring you fulfillment like Jesus. So that you will have a full understanding. You can give the Lord a praise. So you'll have a full understanding. And here's my point. Here's my point this morning. And I'm going to make it real brief. Here's my point this morning. If you're struggling in your heart and in your spirit and in your soul, you say, man, I'm so discontent. I don't even know what it is. I just go from one thing to the next. I'm just unhappy. She can't make me happy. He can't make me happy. They can't make me happy. I'm going to challenge you this morning. He says it right here. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so you'll have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ Jesus. That's where it is. Be active in sharing your faith. One of the biggest dangers, and I've been around church a couple days, one of the biggest dangers that we have in church is creating a secret society. He watches rated R movies. I can't be around him. She smokes cigarettes. I can't have anything to do with them. He on Friday nights, if they only knew how he talked, we can't have anything to do with him. She wears a polka dot shirt to church. I can't have anything to do with her. You get the point, though. I went into the barber shop last week. I'm sitting in the barber chair, and this guy he said, "Man, I recognize you from somewhere. Yeah, it's good to see you, blah, blah." And he begins to just word. How many of you've ever met somebody? Every third word is the F word. You ever met anybody like that? So I'm sitting in this barber chair, and every third word, F, and on and on and on and on. And I'm being real honest with you. I was a little uncomfortable because right over on the edge, there's this little girl that goes to church, and she sits right over in the back there. And she's looking at my face, and she's looking at my reaction. I said, "Lord, give me the grace to know exactly what to do." I just smiled. "Oh, so what do you do?" I said, "Well, I'm a pastor down at City Church, and Pastor Marty? Oh, yeah, he comes in here and gets his haircut." You either change the environment that you're in, or the environment changes you. And my challenge for you is not when you get in a situation like that. Oh man, I'm out of here. I can't be around this. Such and such, his breath smells like Budweiser. I can't relate with him. I wrote him right off. But to change the environment, to change your environment that you're in, and minister God's grace to him. And I've only been there a couple times. I can't wait for the next few conversations because I'm going to hit it right where it counts. You know that I am. I'm going to bring, before long, I'm going to get him sitting right up here somewhere with me so he can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the biggest concerns is not to create a secret society, but to create an outreaching church. So I'm going to give you, real quick, I'm going to give you four quick ways to share your faith. How many of you want to hear them? You want to hear them this morning. Four quick ways to share your faith. You can be loving, but you can be very direct. I love this. And Peter says in Acts 2, he says this, repent and be baptized. How many of you know that's a little culturally irrelevant right now? But you can be direct, but you can love people. My dad shared a story last week. We go into that taco place. We're sitting in there, and I felt the Lord immediately challenge me, you need to talk to this guy. So I went right over, and I talked to him. Hey, nice Harley shirt. Yeah, I got two Harleys, but I couldn't ride them because I got stage 4 colon cancer. I said, God, really? I got Paul sitting across from me. He had stage 4 colon cancer. You can be loving, but you can be very direct. Paul goes, we get done praying for healing in his body, and Paul looks at him like he does with that when he starts doing this, and he says, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You can be loving, but you can be very direct. He hits the guy right between the eyes because the truth of the matter is that guy might not be here in 5 months. So you can be loving, and before we left, the guy gave me his address. He said, come visit me anytime you want. He might live 3 miles from my dad's house, and you better believe I'm going over there. But you can be loving, but very direct, number one. Number two, are you ready? You can share your story. Oh, man. Oh, boy, this is a good one. There's a man in the Bible in John 9. He was a man that was born blind, and they said to him, who sinned, him or his parents? And Jesus said, neither this man or his parents sinned, but it happened for the works of the gospel. So you can share your story. There's stories around this room. I thank God for Joe Cohn sharing his story with you guys so you guys walked in here. I thank God for the stories, all kinds of stories all around this. You can share your story with somebody, and it can make a huge impact. And let me just say this to you. I don't know the scripture, and I don't know how to get there, and I don't know how to make it happen. Just share your story of God's redeeming power in a life. And let me just say this. The bigger your story, the more the enemy is going to push on that story. He's going to try to rip that story out of your hands. That's why people with a great story, the enemy attacks them way harder than some of us with kind of a, you know, I used to be addicted to Cheetos. That's my story. If you've got a profound story, the enemy wants to snatch that story out of your hands, but don't let them do it. Use the story to impact a life. Number two, you can share your story. Number three, are you ready for it? You can invite people to church. Well, Ryan, how are you going to tie that into scripture? Okay, I got it for you. The woman at the well, John chapter 4. You know the story. Jesus says, you got 5 husbands, you're not even staying with the one, but goes on and on, ministers to this lady, and at the end of the whole thing, he says this, she says, I'm going to go tell people about this. I'm going to go tell them so they can see. That, them are the exact words. I need to tell them so they can see. You might not feel comfortable sharing your story. You might not feel comfortable being direct. You might not feel comfortable, but I'll tell you what, it's real easy to hand them a card just like this. They'll be at the back door on your way. It's real easy to hand a card off like this and say, I want you to know something. And God has changed my life, and I want to show you how that happened. Number three, you can invite them to church. And lastly, and I love this one. I love this one. You can live a life others will want. Let me just say this to you. Paul and Silas, they get thrown in jail for nothing. Do you know the story? They minister, they rebuke a demon out of a woman. And because the officials were making money off of them, they got mad. They threw them in prison. They threw them in prison without cause. The Bible actually says they didn't even give them a fair trial. And Paul was mad about it. But Paul, listen to this. Paul gets into prison. The prison walls start to shake. The doors come open. And the jailer says, I'm going to go kill myself. Because he thought he was in charge. You might think that people are in charge in your life, but I'm going to tell you something. In the midnight hour, when you start singing psalms and hymns unto the Lord, God starts to change some things. And here's what Paul does in grace and in mercy. He says to him, come with me and let me minister the love of God to you. And the Bible actually says he gives his heart to the Lord. His family gives his heart to, their heart to the Lord. And then he baptizes them all. You can live a life others will want. I want you to put that screen up with the blue one with a circle. This is what we need to be doing. And I pray some of you, this will leave an impression on your heart. There are many in here, you are not baby Christians. You are mature Christians. God has done a profound work in you. And you're unhappy with your walk right now. You're discontent. You're frustrated, and you can't figure out what about. I'm going to show you right now. As you share your story, lives are impacted. As lives are impacted, we understand more. You begin to understand everything that Christ has for you. You want me to show you a Christian that'll run away from God quicker than quick? It's a person who's not sharing what God has done in them with others. Lives are impacted. We understand more. And lastly, we are outward focused. You know what the opposite of being outward focused is? Inward focused. It's all about me. Selfish. Self-centered. I don't care what it does to other people. It's about me. I want to just encourage you this morning to share your faith. To share what God has done. You know, this church, there's a few empty seats in here if you haven't noticed. There's a couple. Another balloon popped in the room, right? Go invite somebody. Your pastor, I love him to death, but he can't talk that much in a week to invite all those people. The elders of the church, fantastic people. They can't do it. It's our call as Christians, as lovers of the Lord, to minister to hurting and broken people. Will you close your eyes and will you bow your heads? If you say this morning, Ryan, I need help with this. I need to be sharing my faith. I'm miserable, and now I know why. Help! I need help with sharing my faith. I want you to just lift your hand up all over this house. In a sign of humility, just lift your hand up and say, Lord, I need your help. Sharing this great gift that you've given me. Hands up all over this place. Hands everywhere. Lifted high. Father, you see the hands. You see the hearts. Thank you, Father, for the humility that it takes to say, yeah, that's me. Father, I ask in the power of your Holy Spirit that you do what I can't do, what the pastor can't do, what others can't do. Father, that you'd work in a heart. Father, that you'd sow the seed of sharing of our faith. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you that many will, when we enter into heaven, Father, many will say, hey, dude, it was because of you that I'm here. Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you so much for being direct with me. Thank you so much for ministering to me. We thank you for it this morning. If the prayer people would come, look at me. I want you to know something. I love you. I care about you. If you feel alone, you say, Ryan, I've been doing this all on my own. I'm so sick of walking alone. Move. Move. Text somebody. Call somebody. Reach out to somebody. Don't leave it to someone else. Because we want to do life together, because we are better together. God bless you. We love you. If you need prayer, come down.